Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. On today's show, if you're feeling as if your life purpose has been robbed, you're going to want to hear the story of Lex and Patty. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Listeners, I would like to welcome some very special guests to my show today. Their names are Patty and Lex. And yes, they have their own podcast. It's called Dear Friends and Family. Lex and Patty both have a very interesting story to share with you about illness and how through illness they have found passion and they have been able to enhance and enjoy their lives. So welcome to the show, Patty and Lex. And you know, we start with a quote, and I believe you brought one to share with us today.
Yeah, I'm actually going to let Patty start.
So we sort of were, you know, one day randomly scrolling through Facebook, and it was one of those, you know, little pictures that comes up across your status. And it said, "I will persist until I achieve." And that is just something that Lex and I have grasped onto in the last year and hold very dear to us.
Heck yeah. I just wanted to say my quote. My quote is, it's something that I've actually lived my life by, and I made it up a long time ago. If you're not enjoying what you're doing, why are you doing it? I live life to enjoy it, not to be beat up by it. And so that's just the way I live my life.
Now, your life was very different up until a year ago, correct, Lex?
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us where you've been and kind of what you're traveling through right now?
Well, my life has always been very hyperactive, I've, you know, been out with bands, and I've been a professional athlete in BMXing and mountain biking, and I've been a professional DJ for 21 years, and I have done all kinds of things, built rock crawlers. I used to own a fabrication shop when I first got sick, and when I got sick, I was running this shop, and my wife was running it with me, and when I got sick, I collapsed in my shop, and everything changed from that point on. And so now I'm living with this illness called small fiber neuropathy, and I can't stand for longer than 15 minutes. So I had to close my shop, and that was very difficult because it was my dream. So shutting that down and having to kind of recheck everything I had to do was pretty nuts, huh, babe? Mm-hmm. When you have to close down your business that you have worked countless hours and hours and hours, and watching your just business go away.
Not just a business. It was an entire life. It was an entire lifestyle that business had created for us. We had a metal fabrication shop that we were rebuilding cars and building beautiful pieces of art. And
yeah.
It was amazing and fun and really hard work.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I can really hear in your voices that was a passion of yours for both of you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I really, really, really loved the art aspect of it when we would build these giant 6-7 foot flowers that went in people's yards, or when Lex built this 20-foot gate that was a tree. It was literally looked like a living tree with thousands of leaves on it.
Yeah, 5,000 leaves all cut by hand.
Yeah, wow. I mean, it was
took me
such
a month to build.
Yeah, it was such a labor of love, and there was so much passion in the work, and he taught me all of his skills. And so on April 1st, 2014, when he collapsed and never recovered, I took over the shop for 6 months, and one woman took on an entire automotive and metal fabrication shop by herself. And I worked my butt off. But at the end of 6 months, I couldn't keep the dream alive. I was ill myself. And so like I had been diagnosed with fibromyalgia 3 years ago.
Yep.
And so, you know, 6 months of working, you know, 16-hour days and lifting steel and welding, and my body said enough, and I had to let go of trying to keep his dream alive.
Yeah, it was pretty insane to just, you know, okay, now what? Like, we're looking at, we've got a ton of equipment, we've got all of this stuff, and I can no longer move, I'm crippled, and I'm going downhill very fast. And it's like, oh crap, what do I do now?
Thing is about you guys is that you didn't lay down.
See, that's the thing. It's a process, right? Like, you can always see it on the other side. But when he first got sick, and I took on the shop, I did all of this work and I worked really hard. And then I had to let go of his dream of where we had been going. And I settled into this very deep depression.
I'm sure. You know?
It was a very dark place for me. And so while he's laying in bed, he gets to work and starts evaluating his skills and his expertise. And in the meantime, I'm just sort of sitting in the corner doing what little I can to keep things afloat, but
okay.
Not
so
really.
When she says little, that's like a complete understatement.
Because you have kids, right?
Yeah,
we have three.
We've got three kids. We've got a shop. We have the household and, you know, two dogs and a cat. And we've got all this stuff. And she is completely running everything. And, you know, laundry, dishes, cooking,
right, but at the
meals.
But at the end of it all, the shop was closed. The shop was moved into the house. The house was a disaster. There's no money. There's no food. There's no anything. And I felt like it was all my fault.
Do you mind if I say that at the end of the day, though, you had a husband who saw you and who respected every ounce of your effort and who you can hear how much he loves you?
Absolutely.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That is why today we are stronger. We are better for it. We are, you know, but I had to go through that grieving process of letting go. And
oh, yeah, it was a huge process.
And that just those constant feelings of not being enough. And one day he finally came up with this grand scheme. He was like, look, babe, I have been in the sound industry for more than 20 years. I can do this from home. We have most of the equipment. Let me show you what I can do.
Right. And so what did you start with? How did you start?
Well, it really started with first, like, I needed to catalog my skills. Okay, well, I'm really good at tech. I'm really good at creating sound, and I'm really good at recording, and I'm really good at all this stuff. And so I was like, okay, what do I have? And so going through all of my skills and everything that I had on hand, I was like, all right, well, I need to build a studio because I want to get into podcasting. And I actually...
Right, and you make that jump because you have all of these skills and you put them all together and you're like, okay, I'm stuck in my house. Yeah. What do I do with these skills that I can still do that is satisfying for me, my wife, our family, and can help support us? And he came up with podcasting.
Yeah. Well, and actually, I want to give a huge shout out to Pat Flynn, because I ran across the Smart Passive Income website and I was like, oh, what's this? And it actually started on YouTube, and I worked my way back to his site and, you know, Ray Ortega and a couple other guys. And I'm like, oh, wait a second, I can do that. And so that was what just started me down the path of, like, you know what, let's start a podcast. Let's start a studio. It's going to be amazing. And so it took a little convincing. We sold some of our shop equipment to buy some new gear that we needed to upgrade and high dollar gear that just needed to be purchased for the studio. When we first put it together, it was like, wow, we were just completely in awe of what we were about to go into, or at least I was, and she was like, no.
Well, you know what? That's really funny, because that's exactly why I have you guys on the show today. Because I know that I have listeners out there who have challenges of their own. So whether it's medical, emotional, addiction, whatever it is that they're struggling with, they have choices to make. They can lie down and do nothing and be dark and depressed.
Yep.
And I totally, Patty, understand that. that is a mourning process. And, you know, kudos for you for everything that you did. And you know, I can really, really hear in your voice that you tried everything in your power to make this work for Lex. But like you just said, you learned so much about yourself and, you know, you moved forward and you guys are stronger because of it and you're moving forward together still.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's really, really huge. And I love what you just said, Lex, about the fact that you were gung-ho. I totally heard your energy shift to the possibilities of what this could all mean and you could do it from home.
Yep.
And I love that you said that Patty was resistant at first.
I'm always resistant at first.
You know, we always say that about my husband too. But something that made me reach out to you guys to see if you would like to be on the show, or actually it was a review that I wrote you. And it was that I heard in Patty's voice during the podcast, you said something, Patty, that I really want my listeners to know about. Can you repeat that for them?
Yes, I can actually share the whole, like there's a whole story behind it. Lex did a video. It was a Dear Friends and Family episode 0.05. And it was him whining about his computer dying. And I woke up to him in this video. And I sat there and I thought about it for a minute. And I thought, you know, there has to be more to this. Like this, I don't want to make a show that's about my husband whining about what just happened in our life, because there's plenty to whine about.
Yes.
And so I went to him with an idea and I said, you know what? I feel really alone and you feel really alone. And I know the fact is that there has to be people out there who understand what we're going through. Because when he first got sick, a lot of people disappeared and we became extremely isolated, no cell phones, random internet disconnections. Like we dropped off of the world from Facebook. I mean, it was just, we had become very isolated. And I said, we need to build a community and we need to build a community out of people who understand. Can we try this?
Yeah.
And I said, let's give people a place to share their stories.
And Dear Friends and Family was born. I mean, Dear Friends and Family, the way it is now is completely Patty's brainchild. Like she,
it's my baby.
Yeah. She made it this amazing thing. And I honestly, I've been joking about this lately that, you know, I believe in Dear Friends and Family so much that if it was a candidate, I would vote for it. You know, like it's just, we're actually just trying to just reach out to other people who have chronic illness, who have that alone feeling, and let them know, hey, we're not here.
So,
or you're not alone, sorry.
But for me, what happened is that at this point, I really don't care who's listening. Because something happened to me. Something changed inside me. I suddenly had a purpose. I suddenly had a focus. And I was looking for people to interview. I was looking for people to help. I was looking for people to encourage and to inspire. And somewhere along the way, I was the one that got encouraged. I was the one that got inspired. My show changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
It saved my life because I was scared. I was exhausted. I was done. I was just done. I was completely done. I had no one to talk to. At least that's how it felt. And I was watching my husband screaming in pain. I mean, his condition literally can cause him to just lay in bed with a pillow over his face screaming for hours. And I needed something else to focus on. And now I have that. I have that purpose. I have that thing that drives me in the morning. How can I make this thing better? Because this thing is for me. And I have met amazing people who have touched my soul and touched my life and made me think differently. Made me think differently.
Yeah.
In a matter of 45-minute conversation, they rearranged my brain. And I am so grateful for that.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that your words are impacting me right now.
That's so sweet. I
thank you.
It's always amazing to me when someone says that to me because I am so isolated.
You have the whole world at your fingertips right now.
Yeah.
The whole world. You're not alone.
It's an amazing feeling.
It really is. When you can see these other people who are not necessarily struggling, but they're going, you know, they are struggling, but they're going through life and still enjoying it. They're still laughing about it.
They're not suffering.
Yeah, they're not suffering. They're not really like, you know, getting beat up by it. They're not whining about it all the time. They're being proactive and they're spending time with their kids and they're having fun like we are. You know, like we spend a lot of time with our kids and we incorporate our kids in everything that we do.
Everything, even the business. Our daughter is busy writing music when she gets home from school, and our son is busy making DJ beats when he's home from school. Yeah. And the other one's out there like fabricating toy cars. And I mean,
I wonder where he gets that from.
Right. He was the saddest when this shop closed because it's where he went every day after school and it's what he loved to do. And so we now try to find ways at home that he can still do that and feel satisfied, because our children have adopted these amazing skills from their parents and they're going to go out into the world knowing how to weld and how to
rebuild engines.
Yeah, fix cars and master audio. And it's amazing to me that they're limitless. We've created a world where our children are not limited by who we are.
Yeah.
That is a great gift that you've given them. And you know, you may see that shop recreated sometime down the road.
It's already started.
Yeah. My son is
He's 8 years old. He's already got a workshop.
Yeah, he's already got a workshop. He's like, Dad, I really want to start inventing. And I'm almost like, hey, that's what I love doing. I love making new things.
Yeah.
And the funny one is like, he's like, Dad, I really want to, like, we took down some doors from his room and he's like, I really want to cut these up and turn them into coffee tables and sell them. And this is his idea. Like, mm-hmm. I said nothing to it. He just came up with a product all by himself.
All by himself. He even like drew up the designs and everything.
Yeah, drew up the designs. It's like, you know, told me where we could go and promote it and sell it. We could go. And I'm like, buddy,
why do you want to do this? And he's like, I want more Legos.
Oh, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is, Lex, I see that you were very creative in your business. And, you know, with podcasting and sound design and all those things, it's very creative as well. Creating a business. Patty, with you, you seem like the quintessential multitasker, very organized, keeping, you know, everything together. And so you seem like great partnerships for what you're doing right now.
You know, the funny thing is that is actually 100% true.
We're a great team.
Yeah, we are an amazing team. And it's funny because we've learned that anytime we do something separately, it's okay. Yeah, we do good.
Yeah, it's good work. But it's not spectacular.
Yeah, when we team up and we put both of our heads together, we just knock it out of the park. And so we've just learned from experience that it has to be a team thing.
And we feed off of each other's strengths. And luckily, our strengths complement each other in a way that we can be productive in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So your passion, and this was the other thing, your passion is what you're doing, your business right now. But it's more than that to me. You know, your passion was to bring passion back into your life. That mm-hmm. really was your passion. And like when Patty said in that episode, she said that it actually makes her feel better. She physically feels better with this in her life.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. I love what we're creating. And, you know, he first tempted me with music, right? Because I've been a musician and a singer all of my life. And so that was my first, like, tempting getting into this. But now I'm, like, all in. I love editing shows. I love mastering audio. I mean, I love learning my husband's skills. I can weld. I can go out in the garage and fabricate whatever I want, you know, but I love the fact that I feed off of him and I learn anything that he's willing to teach me. So,
and I love the fact that she focuses me. Like we always talk about the fact that we're a magnifying glass. She sees the world very small and I see the world very huge. So
like I focus on the little part that the one side focuses on, right? Like the magnifying glass on one side will only show you a piece. But on the other side, it shows you the big, broad view. And so we're a magnifying glass.
Yeah. And so she's the one side and I'm the other side. And together we make the one. And mm-hmm. so it's really with this illness, like we've always been really tight and passionate towards each other.
Mm-hmm.
But with this illness, it's like we have just grown a lot closer and we have been able to work through our problems a lot faster because, you know, before we were so busy that, you know, it took a while to get through stuff, you know, through issues and,
right.
and, you know, and now it's like, just like that, you know, or not just like that, but we sit down and we work through it and we get through our issues and we move on.
Yep.
So what kind of hesitations or challenges have you guys had along the way? You decide you want to do this new business.
Mm-hmm.
You sell some equipment to get some new equipment. Have you had any obstacles or smooth sailing?
Oh, God.
Many, 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 many obstacles. It feels like sometimes that our road is just fraught with large rocks that we stumble over. You know,
but
just
you do get over, though.
Oh, yeah, we do. I mean, the thing about it is just going with the flow. Like the episode that Patty was talking about, the 0.05 Dear Friends and Family, right as we were getting ready to launch, my supercomputer that I built 10 years ago decided to just die.
Went
call
to
it
heaven.
Quits. Yes. I mean, it just completely melted down and we're about to launch.
The day before the launch of Dear Friends and Family.
Yes. And so we lost everything. We lost everything. And it was like, yeah. So it took us like another month or two to rebuild everything and get everything back going. And so it was just like, once we got that going, then, you know, finally the funniest thing is, all right, we're cool. We're ready to record. Lights get turned off. What?
Yeah.
We lose the electricity. So now we have to scramble to try to make some money so that we can pay the electric bill.
It's just this like constant, you know, if it's not one thing, it's another. You know, at one point, I was sick in the hospital because my gallbladder was failing me. My grandmother was two buildings over passing away. My husband was home, you know, in his condition alone with the children. Like it was just like one thing after another, after another. And then after my grandmother passed away, my dad got diagnosed with lung cancer. So this has all happened since February. I mean, it literally has just been one thing after another, after another. That's life.
Yeah.
That's the adventure. That's life. The adventure is in the solution. You keep looking for solutions and that's how you find great things to live for. And the thing is that it doesn't matter. All these little bumps, we get over them. We get through them. Every day I wake up, it's another adventure. Come on, world, what you got for me today?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm going to handle it and I'm going to walk through it and we're going to do it together and we're going to do it as a family and we're going to do it with grace.
I love you.
I love you.
Oh, you guys, you have an amazing attitude. I just think, you know, you talk about all these different things you've been through and you're wearing your learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're wearing it.
Well, here's the thing. The biggest thing about it is with everything that has gone wrong or that has happened since I've gotten sick, we have every excuse under the sun to be completely depressed.
Our kids could be in foster care. Yeah. We could be divorced. We could both be drug addicts and drinking all the time. I mean, literally, like, we could have gone the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And everyone would have been, you're right. You're okay. You're justified in that.
Yeah. I mean, your life sucks. And that this, I mean, you know, go do this. And that's not what we chose. We chose like, you know what? All right, this is life. We are going to go with the flow, you know, and when something comes up, okay, it sucks. I'm not going to say we do this perfectly, but, you know, it crushes us when we get the cable bill
We don't even have cable.
I mean, we don't. But, you know, when we get the electric bill or when we get the water bill and it's like, damn, all right, we need to figure out how to pay this. And we're slowly starting to build up some momentum as far as cash flow goes.
But that's not even what's important.
No.
What's important is every day my children lay their heads on their pillow and they are happy.
Yeah.
They are satisfied and they are full.
Yes. It's all about family.
That's all that matters. At the end of my day, I am enough if my children's heads hit their pillow and they are full, satisfied, and happy.
Every time I see my kids smile, it just melts
my
heart.
That's all I need.
It's like, all right, I did good today.
I can totally understand. I mean, nothing means as much as your kids. But what I wanted to ask you guys next, though, was at what point did you both decide, you know what? We're in the right direction with this podcasting thing.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So I think we were probably on episode 5 or 6.
Yeah.
When we looked at each other and we said, this is it. This is the direction that we're going in. And this is why. The podcast has given us connections into other avenues. So like right now we have 2 artists coming this weekend to record in our studio.
Three artists coming this weekend
to come and record in our studio. And so, you know, it's really opened up other avenues for us. We're now producing a show that neither of us are on. Sometimes we jump on the mic every now and then if we have something funny to say, but we're producing a show for someone else and starting to build a podcasting network. And we have a new end goal of eventually creating an actual radio station. And so it's really led us into so many other places, but at the core is that aspect of giving and sharing of experience, strength, and hope.
Yeah. The other thing was, it's like, I remember when we first started getting reviews and when people started commenting about our shows.
Such a beautiful thing.
That was just like, oh, wow, we're actually touching people's lives. Like, what?
Yeah.
I didn't, like, I knew that was going to happen, but I'd really
kind of hoped it would happen.
Yeah. We, you know, but I didn't really, I wasn't, the response was more than I was anticipating. Like the fact that people were like, wow, this, you know, the day your mom commented on one of our shows and I was blown away. I was like, okay, this is it.
Yeah. I needed to hear everything that was in this. Thank you so much. You know, like she needed and loved that episode. And it was like, see, this is why we're doing it. You know, my mom is going through such a hard thing right now with my dad. He's been given, you know, 16 months to live, and she's having to, you know, they were just retiring and just about to be completely, you know, job free and live this beautiful life that they had created together. And then this happened. And when she said, I needed that today, this is why we do it.
And, you know, I'm sure it's also very difficult for her to know what you and Lex are going through and your challenges.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she is the reason that we have a roof over our heads.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. We would be homeless without my mom and dad.
Yeah. Wow. It's really, I mean, if it wasn't for them, I mean, we named them our first hero in our first show. And it was like, I mean, I would call them our hero in every show if I could.
That's right. You know, it's I do like, every day of my life.
Yeah. It was actually funny because before her dad got sick, he was like, hey, you know, Lex, you got to get back on your feet. You got to get back to work. And they couldn't understand. And then after he got sick, then they started to understand what we were going through.
Yeah.
And so I'm seeing this bond being created between Patty and her mom.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful. Like, I love the fact that, you know, they're working on writing blogs together and writing, you know, different recipes together. So it's just like, it's so cool that they have this relationship now because of this common bond.
Here and I have always been close.
Well, yes, so. Yes.
Yeah, but that's something else I want to point out to my listeners, though. Okay, you start this new business and it gives you light into your life, but that has also now transcended to your mom. Because now you're reaching out to her and giving her something that's creative and that's going to make her feel good.
Yes. I know. I suggested writing with her and she has like taken off with it. It's awesome. I love it.
That is great. What do you think you guys have learned about yourself in this process?
That we can take on anything?
What? I know that's a loaded question.
You know, this is the thing. Before this started, I have to say this. I am not grateful for this illness and I will never be grateful for this illness. However, I am very grateful for the things that I have learned about myself in the process of my husband being sick. I am stronger, more beautiful, more inspiring, more intelligent, more than anything. I am more than I ever thought I was.
Mm.
Like I have come to accept who I am, who I really am, what is really in my soul, what is really great about me. And to let that shine. And I couldn't do that before. And so I'm grateful to know the beautiful parts of myself.
And for me, it's like, it's been a struggle to understand that my profession isn't who I am. And, you know, the fact that I am no longer able to do, like, I can still do it a little bit, but I can't do it professionally anymore. I can putz around in the garage or in the backyard, but, you know, only for 15 minutes at a time. So learning these new, you know, learning to live with these new things and being okay with it, that took some time, but it finally hit me that I was like, you know what? It was actually the day it hit me was when my kids came into the room and I was just having a really rough few days. And they were like, you know what, Dad? We don't care. We want to come and hang out with you. And the amount of love with my whole family surrounded around me while I'm going through pain, it just made me realize, like, you know, it doesn't matter what I do. It only matters what I am to these people right here in front of me.
Well, it's kind of interesting, though, because you used to internalize that your profession defined you.
Exactly, yeah.
And now that you've let go of that, you're sort of, you have to learn now that your illness doesn't define you.
Yes.
Right? You let go of your profession defining you, but then put your illness in there.
Exactly.
And now you're starting to realize that you're not even, that doesn't define you, that you are so much more than that. And other people are showing you that. And it's a beautiful thing. Like, that's what we're learning in this show, right? Other people show us about ourselves.
So I actually want to share something really special, if it's okay.
Of course.
So this morning, somebody, and I'm not going to name them, but somebody asked me to be their mentor. Me. At first, I was like, wait a second, what are you talking about? He's like, well, I want you to teach me what you do and how you do it and all of this. And I was like, I was just completely blown away because I've never seen myself to have that kind of value before.
Wow.
And so.
But then I had to sit down across from him and say, hey, mister.
Yes.
He wants what you have. Look at your life. Look at the kind of relationship you have with your wife, the kind of relationship you have with your children, the kind of relationship you have with your business. He wants that. Your illness does not define those things.
That's just a label. Your job, that's your career, that was only a label.
But even just the illness is just a challenge, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
But if somebody
lives it, right? If somebody labels themselves that, but like you're saying, he's moved past those labels, and you, both of you are both so open and vulnerable and, you know, so willing to share your deepest thoughts. And I'm wondering, were you like that always, or is this something that's evolving also?
We've been pretty open people.
Yeah, we've always been open books.
We have learned lately, though, that some people don't understand certain things that make us vulnerable. And so there are things that we have to keep to ourselves.
We're trying to develop a thicker skin just because we are at such a vulnerable point in our life. We try to hold things a little bit closer to our chest nowadays. We're still pretty open.
Yeah, definitely. Especially about living with illness. Like if I can help one person, it's worth it to me.
Yeah.
To be open about how I feel with my illness.
Right. And you know, I always try to provide resources that are beneficial to my listeners. So do you guys have a book or internet resources or anything that my listeners could benefit from?
Well, it's actually really funny that you say that. We're actually working on a few different things. I'm going to be refreshing our website next week. And we're going to be launching a few different things as far as like having a date night with your kids. And date night, you know, 20 date night ideas that you could do with your kids that are for people like me who can't
really
move.
Low effort, low cost.
Exactly. Low effort, low cost. You can do it at home. It's not, you know, so it's going to be a really cool, like 20 things. And then we're also going to be putting out
5 tips on how to make your date night great with your kids.
Exactly.
Just things like that, like special, like little, you know, 10 games you can play with your kid that'll take 20 minutes or less. You know, like just those little ways to connect with your children and family building activities for people who are like us and have limitations.
And we're also going to be putting up the really easy card game rules because everybody forgets how to play Go Fish or how to play War or how to play
Old Maid.
You know, like, so it's just like, we're going to put those like just generic rules up so that everybody knows, all right, this is how you play with your kids. Like, if you want to play war with them, if you want to play Go Fish, these are the rules.
Playing cards with your kid for 20 minutes or less can fill their cup for the rest of the day. Kids are so easy, but you got to make the effort.
Right. I actually just wrote a blog that had ideas for, you know, different fun activities to help families bond. So feel free to check it out. And
heck yeah.
Awesome.
Anything that's on there. So this part of the show, we pick it up. It's the most important part because we're talking about what I feel are the three steps to motivation. Number one is envisioning something for yourself. The second is exploring it. And the third is to execute. Mm. So if somebody wanted to push past any type of illness to bring a passion into their lives, how could they envision that for themselves first?
Well, the biggest thing is taking inventory of what you can do and what you know. And
rating those things. You have to rate them though. Like,
yeah,
sometimes what you can do isn't what you want to do.
Exactly.
Right? And it's not going to be fulfilling. And so when we went on this adventure of evaluating skills and what we can do to move forward, there had to be a level of passion in it for both of us already,
mm-hmm.
right? Like with the music and the sound engineering and the editing and talking to people, like those things had to all be really important to us and had to rate high in order for us to find what it was that we needed to latch into.
Yeah.
So I see you guys actually envisioning yourselves doing it, and I see you envisioning all the elements that go along with it.
Yeah.
Correct.
And I also did a ton of research before.
Well, I think that would be step two, which would be explore.
Exactly.
Yep.
So and what kind of research did you do?
Oh man, I did research for a few months. A lot of what I did is I went online to like YouTube and to specific websites, learning how to create passive income and just kind of, once I figured out what I wanted to do and which direction I wanted to go in, I had to research whether or not it was sustainable and whether or not it was actually doable.
You also had to have to research what's out there already.
Yeah.
So when we decided to do Tier Friends and Family, we went out there looking for other podcasts that had to do with chronic illness or other videos out there that have to do with chronic illness and seeing what's already out there, because you don't want to be a carbon copy, you know, but you need to see where you'll fit in too. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, doing that research, and it was actually kind of funny because I read a lot of, you know, Pat Flynn stuff. I listened to a lot of Chalene Johnson. The Build Your Tribe. Love that podcast. I mean, I love the heck out of that podcast.
We listened to a lot of podcasts, and that's what inspired us to make a podcast.
Yeah. And so pretty much what I started doing is I started to put together like a business plan as far as like,
oh, okay. So you're executing.
Yes.
See how that's natural? It's a natural progression that once you start seeing something for yourself, you know when it's time to move to that next step.
Oh, yeah.
I notice when I'm doing interviews with everybody, I'm like, whoa, you just jumped right into explore. You just jumped right into execute. Because it's a natural progression. But the thing is, a lot of people don't know how to move through these steps.
Yep.
So what did you end up doing then?
So, you know, once we figured out the direction and how we were going to do it and whether it was sustainable, next we put a business plan together and then that business plan was how this was going to be profitable and by when it was going to be profitable and targets and goals and things like that, where we just kind of put together the, you know, all right, in 6 weeks, we want to be at this mark, and at, you know, 10 weeks, we want to be at this mark, and just kind of reverse engineer,
yeah,
make those goals and then reverse engineer the goals to get to those goals.
That leads me to my next question. You're saying you had all these goals.
Mm-hmm.
So in 5 years, if life is a process, where do you see you guys?
In 5 years?
We have a radio station and lots of employees working underneath us. And yeah.
I actually see a radio station, a foundation that will help people.
And I want to have a song on the radio.
Yeah. You know, I want to have a foundation that's going to help people, like us. And
we want to find, like, once a month, we want to find a family. This is kind of our big, you know, giving goal, is we want to find a family once a month who's in a situation like we are. And we just go in and we relieve the stress for a month.
Yeah. Or longer. I mean,
whatever they need.
The biggest thing is that goal is our paying it forward.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people have helped us out countless times. And when we can, my promise to the world is we are going to give it back.
See, the thing that I really love about Lex and I is that in the execution of things, we're both willing to go with the flow. And so ideas change, concepts change. We have to revamp our business plan. We have to revamp what direction we see our studio going in. We've had to do this over and over and over again in the last year.
Yeah, I think that's the process and part of the fun.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, your business grows organically. Like what we originally, when we first put our... We're nowhere near there. It just kind of started to develop a life of its own and started to grow in directions. And as long as we stuck to our principles, as far as, you know, educating, promoting, and getting that awareness out, and just, you know, our main model is attraction rather than promotion. Like we want to attract people to us by our skills and by what we do. Mm-hmm. And it's been happening. And by doing that, it's starting to grow in all kinds of
awesome directions.
Yeah. And so, you know, cool opportunities are starting to arise. And, you know, now it's time to follow through.
I think it's exciting. And I'm wondering what kind of closing advice would you have for listeners?
Persist until you achieve, because you will. If you stay focused, if you build a fortress around your focus and move forward, you will succeed. You will find what you're looking for.
And then my biggest suggestion would be is like, make sure you research it to the point where it makes you want to get off your seat. Mm-hmm. If you're researching.
You've got to have fun.
Yeah. I mean, anytime I'm researching for my business, as soon as I'm like 3/4 of the way through my research, I want to get out of my seat and head into the studio and I want to get to work and I want to put that stuff straight into work. And so when you're about to head in this direction or head in any direction, you want to research it to the point where it just makes you get off your seat. It makes you, all right, I need to do this right now. And then you know you're heading in the right direction.
And have fun. Laugh. Yes. Please laugh.
Have fun.
That is the only way to get through our day is to laugh. We have to laugh.
Yeah. If you're not having fun, then why are you doing it?
That's what I always say. That's exactly what I always say. If you're not having fun, why are you doing it?
Yeah.
Okay. So contact information. I will absolutely include all of your information in the show notes. We mentioned the title of your podcast is Dear Friends and Family. Mm-hmm. Is there any other contact information you'd like to share?
Yep. We have a website called lovethefam.com.
And you can also check out the studio page at studioids.com. And the Love the Fam is actually going to be getting a blog soon. We're going to be launching a blog very soon. We're just building. We're still building a ton of content for it. So it's going to be amazing.
And you know what? I write a blog that will be inspired by you. So I write a blog for each episode. It's an extension of the day. There will be a blog that is inspired by you. So stay tuned for that.
That's awesome. Excellent. I can't wait.
We'll put a link to your show on our website so people can, you know, our listeners can come and check you out because we really love your show.
Yeah, it's great.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that you guys came on today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your story is really inspiring and I'm sure that people were able to take a lot away from this.
Thank you.
Okay, listeners, it's time for your go-do. There was something Lex said that really drew my attention. He said that one of the things that moved him in the right direction to start a business that then ended up really inspiring both him and Patty was to make a list of what he was good at. What are you good at? Make a list and report back on Motivate Me Ultimate Support System. See you there. Patty, before we leave today, I know you said you like to sing and one day you'd like to have a song on the radio. You do know I had a karaoke business for 13 years, so I'm going to ask you to sing. Would you mind singing a little something for us?
No problem. Let's see. Got my ticket for the long way round. Two bars of whiskey for the way. And I sure would like some sweet company. I'm leaving tomorrow, what do you say? When I'm gone, You're going to miss me when I'm gone. You're going to miss me by my walk. You're going to miss me by my talk. Oh, you're going to miss me when I'm gone.
And how did I know this was going to end up a duet?